turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. This week, of course, many of you were off on Thursday celebrating the 4th of July. It's crazy because if you're off on Thursday, you might as well take off Friday. Then you have Saturday and Sunday. It's like a week of vacation. But we have a lot to celebrate on the 4th of July. It's an excuse to wear star-spangled clothing that you could never get away with any other time. It's a time to cook hot dogs and chicken and burgers. You know, we eat more hot dogs in one day as a nation. It's like 1.5 million hot dogs are consumed on the 4th of July. What an amazing opportunity to celebrate the freedom that God has given us. While you're getting to Galatians 5, let me share this with you. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That, of course, is an excerpt from the Declaration of Independence. July 4th commemorates the day in 1776 that our nation declared itself independent from England. No longer a colony, but a separate country. On that date, a number of our leading citizens signed what is known as the Declaration of Independence, stating our determination to become a free country. That's what we're here to celebrate today, is freedom. Our forefathers were determined to establish a free and democratic system of government, and the Declaration of Independence became the foundation for this. Our forefathers, let me share a few thoughts from our forefathers. George Washington said this: "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly implore His protection and favor." George Washington knew the Lord. Samuel Adams said this: "We have this day, the 4th of July, restored the sovereign," meaning God, "to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising to the setting of sun, let His kingdom come." That was Samuel Adams. John Adams said this: "The Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity." Do you think they knew something about the Lord and that this freedom was endowed by Him? Thomas Jefferson said this: "God who gave us the life also gave us liberty," or freedom. "Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are a gift from God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and His justice cannot sleep forever." Thomas Jefferson. July 4th is a time that we reflect on God's goodness to this nation. Molded into the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia are these words from Leviticus 25:10. "Proclaim liberty," freedom, "throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." While we look with gratitude at our past and the founding fathers who've laid this foundation, not only in our Declaration of Independence, but their thoughts and beliefs, that we would be a nation that understand that all we have is endowed by our Heavenly Father. It's a gift from above. We also look into faith into the future, that we too have this same responsibility to commit to God our lives, our families, our jobs, our relationships to Him. Psalm 33:12 says this: "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." You see, freedom in this nation came at a great cost. And for many years, it has cost several lives to secure that freedom for you and I, that we might sit here today and celebrate this wonderful service as we praise God, but we do so in freedom. We do so not afraid that somebody's going to knock this door down and come and arrest us. We do so knowing that when we leave here, we're going to choose what restaurant, not what hiding place. We are not worried that our homes are going to be ransacked because we declare the name of Jesus. Freedom has come at a cost in this nation. Our nation, yes, was born in struggle. Many of these men who signed the declaration, they didn't even agree. And today, our nation still has struggle, doesn't it? Our government is at odds all the time. There are things that are not perfect in this nation. See, as we sit here, we represent people with different understandings and different experiences when we think of the United States. But let me tell you, we are all children of God. We are united by one purpose, that freedom is not earned, it's not fought for. You can't buy it, you can't trade for it. Freedom is from God and God alone in his Son, Jesus Christ. And that brings us to Galatians chapter 5. If you're there, the first verse says this: "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." The first point that I want to make this morning is, yes, the Declaration of Independence declares our freedom, but the forefathers, those that wrote that, Thomas Jefferson, who penned those words, understood one thing. Exactly what Galatians 5:1 says is, freedom comes from Jesus Christ, only in Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ. What he did, the act that he did on the cross, he paid for our sins through his debt, through his substitutionary atonement on the cross. His death and his resurrection, he purchased, he gave our freedom. Freedom is only in Christ. In fact, Jesus says this in John 8:31 through 32. "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You know, not too long ago, we did a series on raising children, and it was called Caretaker, Cop, Coach, and Consultant. And you understand those terms. When you bring a little baby home, you have to supply all of their needs. You are a full-time caretaker for a little baby. And then when they turn 3, you switch from caretaker to cop. And you understand this, right? You're chasing them with one of those little white magical sponges to get all the crayon off the walls. You're not sure how Cheerios find themselves in the places that they find themselves. We're currently working with a 3-year-old that he decides when and what time he wants to go to the bathroom. We're on his schedule. So it's a challenge because we're having to police those activities. And it's just when you buy those new Avenger underwear that he decides he's not ready. And then also coach, when they're kind of in that 10 to 16 range and you're having to help them as they make choices in school. You're having to help them as they navigate through life, friends and relationships and all of these things. And I have a 10-year-old there. And, you know, helping him to understand, I'm not having to police him. What's great about Jonah is he can wash himself and bathe himself. He can dress himself and feed himself. It's a wonderful thing. But we are having to help him coach things. You know, as his emotional maturity is growing, he's needing to be coached through life's challenges and difficulties. And then we also have, now the last stage, a consultant. I have 2 daughters that are in college now. And it's crazy because many of you have had children that have gone off to college. It's like you have to let go. You have to let them experience some things and you have to release them. But you know, the challenge is you're not gone. Your role has just changed. And I've struggled with that. Because they now are adults. But every now and then you get that phone call that says, "Dad, what should I do about this?" And you're the consultant. And what's amazing is As children move through, caretaker, cop, coach, and consultant, you know what the difference is, the level is that in each stage, the level of freedom gets higher. Well, let me tell you, we are God's children. And God has set us free, has given us freedom. And as we mature in Christ, our level of freedom, he's already purchased our freedom. But there are expectations, there's responsibilities, and there's accountability to the freedom that Christ has given us. But rest assured this, that freedom is only in Christ. He says, "For freedom has set you free. Stand firm, therefore." Standing firm is this. Freedom is not the right to do what we want to do. Freedom is the right to do what we ought to do. That's what Jesus is really talking about here, is you have now been set free to do what God has called you to do. Jesus said this in John 8, 34 through 36. "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, for the Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So what has Christ set us free for? As we're growing in our relationship, as we're caregiver, cop, coach, consultant, as he's raising us up into maturity in him, what has he set us free for? Freedom from having to earn your way to God. That's the first thing. If we take this text out of Galatians, he has set us free. He's talking to a lot of Jews that think that they have to earn their way by the law back into the relationship with God. And let me tell you something. Jesus has set us free from having to earn our way. You know, I don't think we fully grasp that. Because there are times when we try to get closer to the Lord because we want to pray more and we want to read our Bible more and we want to talk to people about Jesus more. And then we feel like if we do those things, we're closer to the Lord. But you know what? He has set you free. Your freedom is in Christ because of what he did, not because of anything you do. He has set us free from having to earn our way. There is nothing you can do to make Jesus love you more. Did you know that? But we often try to earn our way, but we are set free from that. The second thing is freedom from sin and guilt and condemnation. Everything that you've ever done, everything that you're going to do, Jesus has already forgiven you. He has set you free from that. You know what was amazing in that song, Raising a Hallelujah? Did you see some of these signs? I saw addiction. I saw uncertainty. I saw fear. Not only is it sometimes the things that we do that keep us shackled in slavery, sometimes it's the way we think. Sometimes it's how we position ourselves. Let me tell you, Jesus has set us free from all of those things. Thirdly, freedom from the penalty and the power of sin. In Romans, it says that sin equals death. But you know what? By the freedom that Christ has given you, you're set free. And lastly, he even has removed sin. It's not going to be on this life, but when we step into eternity and we receive our glorified bodies, you know, the Bible says that there will be no longer tears. There will be no pain and no more sickness. Without Christ, we are slaves to sin and unable to do what's right. What Paul is challenging us here is to remember we have been set free in Christ. And now it's time that we do what he's called us to do. So the second point this morning is freedom. This freedom that Christ has given us creates an opportunity. Freedom is an opportunity. Jump down to verse 13 in Galatians 5. "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." So we've spent a lot of time this morning talking about freedom is in Christ and Christ alone. But Paul's going to take it a step further. So you get this point that you are set free in Christ. But what are you now going to do with it? Having a conversation with one of my daughters as she's going to college, I really challenged her and I said, look, you're going to go to school. And there's going to be a lot of opportunity for you to hang out and to party and to do all these things. I said, but remember that your purpose is to get an education, to do well in school. There's a lot of people praying for you and counting on you. What are you going to do with the freedom that you are now going to receive at the University of Alabama? But as a father looking at my daughter, hoping for the very best, that she will choose the right things, she'll choose the right friends, she will manage her time wisely. It's the same thing that God is impressing upon us today is, yes, you have been set free in Jesus Christ, not because of anything you've done or earned, but because of what he did. Now, what are you going to do with it? He gives us two options. The first one is this: an opportunity for the flesh. Clearly, we can choose to use freedom as an opportunity to please ourselves. See, you could say something like this: ah, you know what? Jesus already paid for that. I'm going to do it. You know what? I struggle with tobacco. It's no big deal. Jesus made me clean. You know what? I'm married, but I'm going to just check out the menu because Jesus will cover a multitude of sins. You see, you could do that, thinking that the more you sin, the greater God's grace is. You could think that way. And that's what Paul's really challenging us here is, you can pursue the things of the flesh, and yes, his grace will abound, but that's not what he's challenging you to. That is the wrong road, and it will take you down a road of death and annihilation. But he says this: take the second choice. The opportunity to serve one another. Opposite of serving the flesh is serving others. The way you take your eyes off of yourself is serving others. My wife posted something on her Instagram. She stole it from Tony Evans. I'm going to steal it from her. He said this, Tony Evans said this: you exist for God. That is why you were created. You were not made just to get a good job, to live a happily life, to get married, and to have kids. Those are called blessings and gifts. You were created to bring God glory and to accomplish his purposes on earth. That's why you won't find rest until you find rest in him. And I thought, what a beautiful, you know, how many of us get so centrally focused that it's about what I want to do, and Lord, would you just bless these plans that I've made? And you sometimes get frustrated when things don't work out the way you wanted to. You know, Bea and I were making breakfast because we didn't know what to do since service was at 11. And I was cutting up an avocado, and I had two plates, and I was about to put the avocado on this plate. Well, she had made eggs, so she put eggs on this plate, and she came and took my avocado plate. So I went to cut the avocado, and there was no plate. And I said, what are you doing? And you know, that you ever get frustrated when something doesn't work out the way it was? As silly as that was, as someone took my avocado plate, we do that when relationships don't work out our way. We do that when jobs don't work out our way. We do that when we don't have as many cars we want or as big a house as we want, or anything that doesn't work out our way, we get frustrated because it's us and it's about me and it's about I. And here's the thing is God saying it's not about you. See, he's saying with your freedom, you can pursue the things of your flesh. You can try to establish this life here on earth that you wanted to create, your kingdom. But he didn't ask us to pray about your kingdom, did he? He asked us to pray that his kingdom would come. Thy will be done. And that's what he's challenging us here is, with your freedom, you should now take the opportunity to serve others, to advance the kingdom of God here on earth. Take your eyes off of you. Okay, it didn't work out. Someone took your avocado plate. serve others. And let me tell you something. I knew I was preaching this morning, and B said, why do you get so frustrated so quick? And I was loaded and ready to come back. Because you stole my avocado plate. But knowing that God said, serve others, I had to bite my tongue and I said, you know what? You're right. I did. And I recognize that about myself is I can get frustrated quickly when things don't go my way or plans or purposes don't go my way. But this is exactly the point that God wants us to understand. He didn't set you free to serve your own agenda. He set you free so that you could serve his. It's about him. It's for him and it's through him. He has set you free so that you could serve others and show them the goodness of God. Man, imagine how great this nation would be. We live in a pretty great nation. But imagine how great it would be if the message across America was this: you have been set free in this nation to serve one another. We wouldn't be little ninja Twitter warriors killing each other. You know, there's some comments on social media that will set somebody on fire. It's amazing to me. But imagine if we put that stuff down and we were okay if somebody didn't agree with us. They didn't think the way we thought, and we just said, that's okay, I'm going to show you how I can love you and serve you anyway. Not because of you and not because of me, but because I've been set free in Jesus Christ. That is why we have been set free. The second point this morning is an opportunity to serve. Freedom is an opportunity. You know, Jesus had more freedom than anyone else. You know, that dude could walk through walls. Somebody like, where is that? Take a look at the end of Luke. But Jesus had more freedom than anyone else. You know what he did with his freedom? He served everyone. From the day he started his ministry to his very last, he was in the service of others. I remember this idea of me, my, and self over serving others, it played out in our family as we, 2 years ago, well, I guess it's been even longer now, 3 or 4 years ago, when we first took our girls to Africa on a mission trip. And that was the time we were flying into Turkey, and that was the time that there was bombs going off in the Turkish airport a week and a half before we got there. And I remember Mackenzie. She was like, Dad, I'm not sure I want to go. She said, I don't feel safe. I don't want to go. And we said, look, if there's any airport in the world that's more safe right now, it's the one that they just had a big problem in. This is going to be the safest airport we could go to. And she said, you know what? I'm not sure I want to go. I'm not sure I want to fly on a plane for 30-something hours. Dad, I'm not sure I want to go to Africa. I know it's going to be hot. Dad, I'm not sure I want to go to Africa because there's mosquitoes and they potentially have malaria. And everything she said was I, and she didn't want to go. So we did what good parents do. We made her go. But you know what was crazy is we were in a village called Bawani. It's in the African bush. And they have mud huts, and the place is so poor. Sometimes when there's no food, they will eat the very dirt from the ground. And here, Mackenzie and Haley, myself and B, and many of the people, even from the church, we were handing out candy to the kids. And it was in this moment that Kenzie was serving others that the greatest breakthrough that I have ever seen in her heart took place. Because remember, she went there, she was so concerned about herself, she was so concerned about the conditions and the circumstances, how this was going to impact her. She wasn't sure she was wanting to go, and she was handing a piece of candy to a kid, and it fell on the ground, and it was covered now in dirt. And Kinsey goes, no, don't eat that. And before she could reach it, the kid grabbed it and put it in his mouth, because they have eaten dirt before. This was no big deal. It was just a little dirt on the candy. But it was in that moment, while serving others, that Mackenzie began to cry. Because it was in that moment that it didn't become about her anymore. It was about people that she was now coming to serve. It was about people that she was coming to share the gospel with, to help and to facilitate God's love and his faithfulness. And let me tell you, as a father, I witnessed that all of the stuff, the fleshly things that she was so concerned about went out the window. And we had an awesome time in Africa because she said right then and there, I'm not going to have a choice to serve myself. I'm going to have a choice to serve others. And that's what God wants for us, is we put our agenda and our kingdom down and we start looking at other people's needs, the hurt in their lives, the needs that they have, the things that God wants to accomplish for them, and we start going after that and praying for them and helping them. Man, imagine how great this nation would be if we understood that. And thirdly is this, and I want to end on this point. Freedom is found in Christ. Freedom gives us an opportunity. And thirdly is this, freedom, you have been set free for a purpose. For a purpose. Galatians 14 says this, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And 15, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. You know, you have in your house many appliances. There are such things as refrigerators and stoves and coffee makers, toasters, dishwashers, dryers. Each one of these appliances was created for a purpose in your home. If I need to wash the dishes, I put them in the dishwasher. If I want to put frozen food away, I put it in my freezer. If I want to make toast, I put it in the... Okay, y'all get this. Imagine you don't go to your dishwasher and try to make coffee. You don't go to your refrigerator and try to make toast. Imagine if the coffee pot said to the creator, I'm not sure I'm going to make coffee today. You see, each appliance was made with specific parts and purposes to complete a certain function in your home. And you depend on those appliances to fulfill their function and their purpose every day. And you're not expecting any lip or attitude from the coffee maker when he wants to make orange juice. You see, we are the same way. We were created. You know that each one of you are uniquely gifted. Even those things that you don't like about yourself, God says, I created you that way for a reason and a purpose. You know, while we were singing, I'll raise the hallelujah. Did you see the infertility? My heart broke. My heart broke. I know her desire and her need. I know that you've desired for a long time to have a baby. But I thought as you were raising that up, how many people are struggling with that very same thing? And here you are saying, God, I understand not everything, but that you're greater. Your will is greater than my will. And I'm going to raise a hallelujah in the middle of my infertility. Man. That is what we are created to do, to put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Understand that we are set free in him. We have an opportunity to serve him and to serve others. And that is our purpose for our freedom. You're uniquely gifted. Some of you are toasters. Some of you are coffee makers. But each one adds value to the body of Christ. And he says, love your neighbor as yourself. How many of us don't even know our neighbors on our street? How many of us don't know their kids' names or what their hopes and desires are? Martin Luther said this, if you want to know how you ought to love your neighbor, ask yourself, how much do you love yourself? If you were to get in trouble or danger, you would be glad to have the love and help from any neighbor, from all of them. You do not need a book of instructions to teach you how to love your neighbor. All you have to do is to look into your own heart and it will tell you how you ought to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, we love ourselves. I don't know about you, but I love myself. I make sure it gets 3 squares every day. This body never goes without food, never goes without water, and I often entertain it with things like movies and, you know, all this kind of stuff. I make sure that this self is taken care of. I even make sure I go to Texans games and Astros games. I mean, I make sure that me is taken care of. And what Jesus is saying is, Chris, as much as you love yourself and you take care of yourself, you make sure that you don't go without. How about your neighbor? Are they going without? But for us to understand how our neighbor is going without, we have to walk across the street and knock on the door. We got to go across the street and say, hey, my name's Chris. We got to go across the street and get a little uncomfortable. Because that's our purpose, to fulfill his kingdom. And the last thing in verse 15 is he says this: but if you bite and devour one another, and you might as well fill in and attack each other on social media and Facebook, if you defriend one another, that's biblical. He said, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. You know, that being consumed by one another, that reminds me of a pack of wild animals. You know, the church can be full of a pack of wild animals. Guys, this message to us this morning, yes, we are celebrating our freedom as a nation, but let me tell you, this is a message for the church of Jesus Christ this morning, that we need to love one another, we need to serve each other, because if not, we will consume one another. He said you get 2 choices. You can either go after the flesh or you can serve one another. And church, if we would understand this, that we have been set free in Christ for the opportunity to serve one another, we're not going to devour one another. This would be a place of hope. This would be a place of rest. This church would be a refuge for those that are hurting. This would be a place where people can feel welcome. This would be a place where people can get connected and have friends. And this can be a sanctuary of health and of love. And this should be the place right here, because we are free in Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.